Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Although this summer there was a brief spike in unaccompanied children being apprehended at our border, the number of such children is now actually lower than it's been in nearly 2 years.
All the thrills I have
missed. Well, of course, the best soundbite from last night was clip 14, where he talks about Scripture. So let's hear the president opining on the Bible.
Scripture tells us that we shall not oppress a stranger, for we know the heart of a stranger.
Yeah,
we were
right.
Strangers once, too.
Well, you're still a stranger to most Americans.
We always will be a nation of immigrants.
All right, that's enough. Look, we could talk about the speech all we want. The fact is, the clown show is getting worse by the day. Does anyone listening to this show believe this man goes to church, reads the Bible in his spare moments? He and Michelle and the children sit around the fire and discuss Ecclesiastes and how it might compare with the New Testament. He doesn't even use a show Bible of the type that Bill Clinton used. Remember, Bill had that Bible made up for him by the friends from Hollywood, the large, oversized Bible with the big cross, so that you would never, ever for a minute not know he wasn't going to church on Sunday. At least Bill and Hillary made the... So I guess he's trying to talk to the Bible believers out there that this is really the just thing to do. I guess there was a little something for everyone in there, except for those of us who voted 2 weeks ago. The only thing I'm wondering is, why was he not complete in his amnesty for illegals, number one? And when are we going to have the other shoe drop, which is when he starts deporting members of the Tea Party? I mean, because that's only part of the liberal agenda, is to bring in as many millions and millions of illegals, primarily the poor and the uneducated illegals, so they can be manipulated for the next 100 years. And to get rid of those of us who can read and write English and make a living. I mean, because we're in the way of the illiberal agenda. This morning, I got up very early. I had to be on a local morning show. Actually, I wanted to be on it on KSFO Radio in San Francisco. I actually enjoy it because they have fun doing their show. I don't. So let's play what I did this morning. Let's see if I was in a better mood than I am right now. Let's hear it.
Dr. Michael Savage making a house call on the KSFO morning show. Good morning, Michael Savage.
Hey there. If you like your illegal, you can keep your illegal. And
Michael, I've been
waiting. The only thing I'm waiting for is the other shoe to drop, which I expect today, where he says he's going to deport members of the Tea Party in order to make things more fair in America. I mean, think about it. I mean, he didn't really do everything we feared. This was a half measure from the point of view of the illegal aliens. You know, the rest of it has to be completed, and that would be deporting conservatives. I mean, that way you'll have a balanced ticket in America, either liberal, communist, socialist, or anarchist. You don't want any patriots left of you.
You know, you built your whole career on the radio. You had another completely different career. You have your master's degree in medical botany, a second degree in medical anthropology, PhD UC Berkeley in epidemiology and nutritional sciences. But your second career in radio started on this radio station. You helped launch KSFO. And your mantra from the beginning, borders, language, culture. It was as if in the 90s you knew this would be the big issue of the day in 2014.
Isn't that quaint, though, the idea of borders, language, and culture? I mean, let's open ourselves up to the Obama world. What borders? Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Language? Polyglot. Keep them stupid. Mm-hmm. Culture, there is no culture. Don't you love last night's speech where he quoted scriptures? Here's the most atheistic president, I mean, overtly, in American history. I've never even seen him with the fake Hollywood Bible that Clinton used to use, the oversized Bible. Never even made him and Michelle, do they ever go to church on Sunday or even make a show of it? Are you kidding me?
Right, but they are.
What's he quoting scriptures for? Who was he appealing to with that?
Yeah, he almost made it sound as if you are a Bible believer, there's something wrong with you if you're not for this plan. That's exactly what he was doing, wasn't he?
Well, Nancy Pelosi washed the feet of the illegals last summer, remember? Didn't she do that in the church?
Yes.
She's going to have better get some new foot washing pans, man. There's a lot of them she's got to wash now.
Yeah, she's going to be busy for a while.
Yeah. I wonder if she's going to do it up in her home, her gilded mansion up on Pacific Heights.
Mm-hmm.
Where they wash the feet now? Give us your, you know, to be serious about this, I'm the son of an immigrant, so it's a sensitive issue for me. And of course, we always say, well, wait a minute now, let's be real, let's put aside the rhetoric. These people just come here to work. Really? Okay. They do. We all see who does the hard work. The busboys, the waiters, the gardeners, the maids. We see it, right? But what we don't see are the relatives at home who are not working. They're living on the social services that we pay for. So if the illegal is working for, what, 20 bucks an hour, 15, whatever they make, the hard costs are like $60 an hour in terms of the public trough. But since Obama prints money, it means nothing. They just keep printing money. And, you know, the only way to make this argument without being accused of being a racist, because that's the left's number one tactic.
Of course.
Make it a fiscal argument, which is what I did on my show yesterday. I was very cautious. Fiscal, 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 fiscal.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck are these people going to cost us? I've not heard that discussed by anybody, and yet I found the great report by Robert Rector done a few years ago of the Heritage Foundation, and with all the social benefits, the costs are astronomical. And that comes out of everybody's paycheck. I don't care if they're a liberal, you know. I love all these college students who've never taken a paycheck home and seen the deductions. But all it takes is the first paycheck to say, oh, my God, where's that money going? Well, the deductions just got very much larger, didn't they? And that's the only way to make this argument, which is, who the heck is going to pay for this?
Michael, we had a guy on from Steve Moore from the Wall Street Journal and the Heritage Foundation on about an hour ago, and he was referring to your comments from yesterday and said the total, they've done the calculations just recently. And Sherry, help me out. It was either $20 billion a year this is going to cost us or $30 billion a year. I know there's a great discrepancy between those numbers, but Michael, it's in the tens of billions a year.
Problemo.
And that's what you were talking about yesterday.
No problemo. Just cut the military a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Just make it a useless Portuguese-level military. That's what he really wants. Isn't that the dream of the left? Anti-nuke, no nukes, a nuclear-free world? Well, first he purges the nuclear command on the false charges, getting drunk in Moscow, failed a test. Hey, if they applied those rules to Congress, there'd be no one sitting there but a horse's ass. The fact of the matter is, he purged the military. Now he's taking over the nuclear command. So just keep cutting the military till we're defenseless. Did you see the story yesterday that China can wipe out our electronic grid?
Yes.
That grid? That's very encouraging, isn't it?
It is. Here's another headline. I want to get your take on this because you're an expert in this as well. Then I have to ask you a personal question. I heard you say something on the radio yesterday that I just have to ask you about further because it so intrigued me. But the headline this morning, Michael.
To the show? What's wrong with you? Have you nothing better to do at noon?
It's all we do all day.
We're all addicted, aren't we?
Yeah.
Michael, tropical diseases pose a growing threat here in the United States. Okay, you're an expert on this. What are they talking about?
Well, let's start with diseases that were once prevalent in America that have been that had been eradicated as a result of tremendously hard work by the public health service. Let's go back to the beginning of the 19th century when malaria was endemic in the southeastern United States. It was wiped out. Malaria is resurging in America. Chagas' disease is being brought in from South America. There are numerous other diseases from Africa. I know we're not allowed to say that Africa does anything negative. After all, it could offend Al Sharpton. But the fact of the matter is, we all know about Ebola. Ebola is just one of many hemorrhagic diseases. I think that's what they were referring to. You've got Lassa fever. You've got, Rift Valley fever. There are many, many diseases that are being brought in from the tropics, primarily the deep tropics of Africa. It goes back to the Ebola story. We had no Ebola in this country until this lunatic in the White House, because of his open borders policies and his reverse racism, said we're not going to close our borders. We're going to let anyone from the third world, diseased or otherwise, come on in. We don't care. Now look what we have here. Is it a raging epidemic? No, it is not yet. However, we also know that the government is repressing the actual numbers of people with Ebola in this country. We know that they told the press they couldn't report on it before the elections. I mean, the story goes on and on. So immigrants and epidemics especially EDV68 from Central America, which has infected thousands of our children in this country.
Yes.
Killing some, paralyzing others. We're not supposed to notice that because we're racist. As I said, all it's going to take is one big liberal's child or grandchild, God forbid, to become paralyzed until they wake up to the fact that immigrants do bring in epidemics, which is why my grandfather, who was an immigrant, had to go.
Michael Savage with us on KSVO. Okay, here's the personal question. I heard you say this on the radio yesterday, and I thought it was unusual. I thought it was amazing, because I know you're big on nutrition. You don't even have a doctor. You don't have a personal doctor. You would take no medication. You don't have a personal doctor.
Nope. No, well, now, I drink a lot at night.
Well, you did mention that. You mentioned wine and vodka. Now, is there something special about that combination?
I don't mean at the same time. No, I don't mean at the same time. But, you know, there's a reason alcohol has survived the millennia. And we have to thank the Arabs for one thing. They are the first to have distilled alcohol. You know that, don't you?
I really thought...
Isn't that ironic, though, they don't drink? I mean, what's with that?
They don't know what they're missing out on.
Have you heard my solution to world terrorism?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, instead of dropping bombs on these training camps in the middle of the Iraqi and Syrian desert, you drop plane loads of airline booze in these little plastic bottles. You drop copies of Playboy. All the trainees out there, instead of learning how to kill, they may actually wake up to what the world is all about. They put down their guns and make love, not war.
I love that.
Oh, come on, look, if we can't write these lunatics on the Live Savage Show,
you know what? It was good. These guys make me happy. I got to thank Brian Sussman and Katie Green. You know, it's early in the morning for me, and I don't think at that time. There's no show prep. I just kind of get up there and do it. Maybe I should do an extra show every day early in the morning when I hardly had a time to look at the computer, because humor is king. All we can do is laugh at this fool in the White House at this point. He is a laughable clown, a dangerous laughable clown. I mean, you know, Freddie comes to mind, or some of the other villainous clowns that we've seen over the years in movies, but he is a clown. Make no mistake about it. But the bigger clown is John Boehner. They fled town today. You saw what the Republicans did? They already closed down for Thanksgiving. What are they going, on a turkey shoot? They don't know Safeway sells frozen birds? McConnell went back to Kentucky to go shoot turkeys? Where are they? The day after Obama gives the most devastating speech of our lives, the two clowns from the Republican circus are out there looking for turkeys. Well, that's why we the people are stuck. We're really stuck between I shouldn't say a rock and a hard place, because that's a hackneyed phrase. I'll use another phrase, but it's a family show. If you like your illegal, you can keep your illegal. So here are some of the questions that I want to ask you. Did you watch Obama's speech last night? I did. I went crazy. I was screaming. The dog ran out of the room. I was alone in a room watching this liar, this liar, everything that came out of his mouth. I was having a drink, I'll admit it. You know, it came on at 5 o'clock here. And remember, my show got over at 3, and it was dark already and raining. I had to have a drink. I'm drinking a vodka and, what do I drink? A Perrier with lime, maybe a touch of orange juice. I find that the juice gives you a headache because of the sugar. Vodka is very good without any sugar. And I swear to God, by the time that speech was a minute into it, I was infuriated, screaming, cursing. I was cursing at TV. Maybe I was unloading what I can't say on the radio every day on this show. I cursed that SOB from the bottom of my heart to the top. I was afraid the NSA was going to get it on tape. I was afraid that maybe there was a drone outside my office and they were spying on what I was screaming at him. But I don't think it's reached that point. I hated everything he said. It got me crazy. Not because I didn't expect this, but because he's such a patent phony. You can look right through this character, and it makes you viscerally angry. So I was going to ask you, how did you feel watching Obama's lies last night? Then I was going to ask you this. Are you a high-tech worker looking for a job? The big lie is they can't get him. They need to bring him in from India. Are you kidding me? And the third question is alcohol. How much do you drink per week? And there's an important reason I'm asking that. And that is because the New York Times, the government, is now trying to move us back to prohibition. That's right. They're pushing everyone away from alcohol and into big pharma, into antidepressants, tranquilizers. They're trying to argue that if you have more than a certain number of drinks a week, you're a heavy drinker and not an alcoholic. Well, let me tell you something, you cretins of the New York Times. The minute I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. This song goes out to all of the 47% of people who don't work for a living, but just love Obama. It is the Savage Nation. Of course, we're talking about the fraud in the White House with this fraudulent amnesty program, et cetera. And we're talking about that. We're talking about the alcoholic story. Most heavy drinkers are not alcoholics, says the New York Times, based on a government report. So in other words, if you're not falling down drunk, you still have a problem. If you drink, I don't know the number here. I have to look it up. I think there's a certain number of drink. Here it is. Excessive drinking is defined as drinking too much at one time or over the course of a week. For men, it's having five or more drinks in one sitting. How about in one lying? Or 15 drinks or more during a week. So if you're drinking more than two a day now, you're a drunk. So this is a move by the government to push you into antidepressants, tranquilizers, anything that's good for you that's not controlled by these vermin in the federal government. I mean, what do they want, prohibition again? Why don't you just get Al Capone, tombs open up? Have Geraldo Rivera open up Al Capone's tomb. I'm sure he knows where it is. He knows as much about where Al Capone's tomb is as he does about illegal aliens. Okay, we'll take your calls the minute I come back on the Savage Nation. How much do you drink a week? 15 a week now? I have to give that up? Forget about it. I'm not doing it. It's my business, not yours.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I know some of the critics of this action call it amnesty. Well, it's not. Amnesty is the immigration system we have today. Millions of people who live here without paying their taxes.
Turn off the clown, will you please? Rock and roll. Just any rock and roll. I don't care what it is. It's rock and roll. There you go. I'd rather listen to Chubby Checker than Barack Obama. At least I get some entertainment value out of Chubby Checker. And I know he's not lying to me. All right, how did you feel watching The Liar last night? As I say, I was screaming and yelling, and I'll tell you why. Here's what got to me. He was making it sound as though every Hispanic is a saint. Every one of them, of the millions, 30 million, he knows them personally. They all have a personal story. They're wonderful people. There's no drug dealers, no murderers, no rapists, no drunk drivers amongst them. They're all saints. Every one of them is a wonderful person. If only he thought that about the Americans who just voted 2 weeks ago. No. Every one of them is a saint. And that's what got me mad. Really mad. Let's go to the caller, Shelley on KSFO. What's your main point?
Dr. Savage, good afternoon. I must preface by saying that I consider myself a Savagette. I'm a huge fan, but I got to tell you, it's really difficult to listen to it just sounds like obvious hatred, and it sounds more like racism to me.
Hold it, please. Don't come on with you're a fan and then throw the typical liberal barb. Make your point and stop with the build-up already.
Listen.
No, you listen. Give me the main point and stop with the smears.
Okay, I'm sorry if you thought I was smearing you. I've never heard you mention anything about Canadian illegal immigration, Croatian illegal immigration, Polish illegal immigration.
Well, let me talk about Canadian immigration. Would you like to learn something, or do you know everything about Canada's immigration policy? Because I do.
I know everything.
Do you?
No.
Oh, would you like to learn something about Canada's immigration policy?
I'd love to listen to you, Doctor. Go ahead.
Well, let me explain it to you. About 10 years ago, the country was being inundated with mainland Chinese flying in their ninth month of pregnancy because they had the insane policy of anchor babies there. And finally, a Canadian of Chinese descent said, this has to stop. The Chinese are going to overtake our country if we don't end this anchor baby nonsense, and they put an end to it. Now, there's a socialist nation that put an end to the anchor baby problem. Would you call them racist for doing it?
actually, Canada's not my problem, though. I mean,
boy, you just raised the question. I said, you accused me of racism. Would you call the Canadians racist for saying the Chinese were dumping babies on their shore through the anchor baby law so they put an end to it? You certainly wouldn't call them racist for doing that, would you, or would you?
No, I would not, actually.
But why not? They were targeting the Chinese particularly.
Because they noticed a specific problem specific to one.
Oh, well, that's the same in America. You're telling me that the predominant number of anchor babies are not from Mexico and Central America?
But what is your concern, though? Because 100 years
ago... Boy, now you're changing the argument. You just said it made sense in Canada, because in Canada they were being inundated with women flying in their ninth month of pregnancy. How many are coming across the border just to make sure their baby is a citizen so that Obama can now say the parent, they shouldn't be separated from the child? That's exactly the same story, Shelley.
How many are flying over the Atlantic to do the same thing?
How many are flying over the Atlantic to do the same thing?
I don't know. I'm sure it's not as...
Well, it's a minuscule number. A minuscule number, and you know that, and I know that. So that's a false argument you're giving. But you know, I look on the board, and it says, Shelley says that I'm a hypocrite because I'm a product of immigration. Isn't that your main point?
We are all products of immigration, Doctor. You know that, unless you're a Native American. We all are, whether it's forced immigration.
See, this is the stupidity. Apparently, you I don't know if you're an educated woman or what. How do you compare the waves of immigrants who came here? Let us say, let's take the last huge wave, which was between 1890 and 1920, when a massive number of Europeans came here, including my grandfather, who came here in 1913. There was no welfare then. There were no social benefits. So how do you make the comparison?
The comparison, regardless of the social benefits.
Oh, come on. Now you're just spinning an argument. You're not at Merritt College now trying to BS a class. The fact of the matter is that my ancestors who came here, and I hear it from an Italian who said to me one day, oh, you know, they're just the same as the Sicilians who came here. And I say, wrong, wrong, wrong. The Sicilians who came here worked their hearts out. If they had to live on a pear at night, they ate one pear. There was no government food, no government housing, no government welfare. They almost starved to death, and they worked their way out of poverty. Don't compare that to this wave of illegals from Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua, and everywhere else. They're coming here to suck us dry on the milk and honey of this land built by we, the workers. I'm ashamed that you don't even know that.
I do know that, Doctor, but listen, you're the first one to talk about how hardworking the majority of them are. There's bad apples in every group. Everyone knows that.
The majority of who is hardworking?
For minimum wage or less, and they do.
Ma'am, who is the hardworking? Well, now you shifted the argument from the wave of immigrants from Europe who are hardworking because there was no welfare for them to who is hardworking.
Okay, no, I'm speaking right now the immigrants from Mexico, Central America, etc.
Right, okay, we see that most of the hard work in America is done by these folks. But what we don't see are the family members at home who are not working. How about those costs?
How is that different from 150 years ago? I mean, most people couldn't even speak English that were coming from...
Are you able to follow an argument?
Absolutely.
How can you follow it? You don't even know what you're talking about. 100 years ago, people came here, and there was no welfare. So how do you compare that with what you just said?
Because you say borders, language, culture. Language. Let's talk about language.
You're changing the argument again. Shelley, are you on medication?
I'm not really trying to change the argument. I'm just saying...
Are you on medication because you can't seem to stay focused on a single point? It's very difficult to have a discussion with you. The minute you lose a point, you go to another point. All right, Shelley, thanks for trying. I know you're stressing your capacities today. I realize it's a tough day for you. But you didn't make any points. So let me make it again. I have a family member who is of Italian descent. And her family is of Sicilian descent. In fact, they're a fine family. They're all very hardworking. The family that came here, the grandfather, or maybe the great-grandfather, she said, come on, they are just the same as the Mexicans and Central Americans. I said, what do you mean they're the same? They're not the same. There was no welfare when your grandfather came here. They worked from morning until night. They worked 7 days a week in order to make a living. There was no government. Cheese. There was no government subsidy for housing. They lived in a slum, probably in New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, New Orleans, San Francisco. Here in San Francisco, many Sicilians saved as much money as they could to buy a fishing boat. In fact, Joe DiMaggio, the great ball player's father, had a little crabbing boat here in San Francisco where he built the family, up on the crabs that he caught. Now that sounds bad. The crabs that he caught, that could be misconstrued. On the crab, the sea creatures that he, netted. In San Francisco Bay. There's a subtext to that story as well. You know that during World War II, we all hear about the crying story about the internment camps, boo-hoo, 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 everyone. But you don't know that the Italians had their property seized in America, including Joe DiMaggio's father's fishing boat. Did you know that? But the Italians didn't cry and demand reparations. They went on with their lives after the war. Did you know the Germans were interned during World War II? But you don't hear those stories. All you hear is the racism of America with the Japanese internment. But that's a side note to this whole story. The whole story is that we cannot afford this wave of immigrants. And that's the one part of it that's being left out by Obama and the liberal press. If you look at 99% of the articles written about Obama's speech last night, tell me how many of them talk about the actual costs. The answer is probably none of them. And so I pulled some articles for you today on the subject, and we will be talking about the amnesty and the gimmicks in it and the amnesty claims in it and also the costs of amnesty, which I pulled for you. Amnesty for illegal immigrants will cost America, says the right-wing Washington Post. The high cost of cheap labor, the Center for Immigration Studies. Households headed by illegal aliens imposed more than $26 billion in costs on the federal government in 2002 and paid only $16 billion in taxes, creating a net fiscal deficit of almost $10 billion or $2,700 per illegal. Now, that was in 2002. Now, imagine what it's like 13 years later. And now magnify that by the costs under Obama, which have greatly expanded. And you will see that the net fiscal deficit will be much higher than probably $30 billion a year. But that doesn't matter to a government like Obama, run by Obama, because they print money. That's why your money is becoming less and less valuable. You know, someone said that to me yesterday. She said to me, wait a minute, how come we don't hear anything more from the Republicans about the deficit, the national debt? You remember about a year ago, 2 years ago, the debt clock was running, and all we heard about was our grandchildren, the debt clock. Where'd that go? Why the Republicans dropped that? What the hell do they stand for? I don't know what they stand for. They haven't said a word. Mitch McConnell ran home to hunt a turkey, and Boehner ran home to find the wild turkey. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
Tonight, I'm announcing those actions. First, we'll build on our progress at the border with additional resources for our law enforcement personnel so that they can stem the flow of illegal crossings and speed the return of those who do cross over. Second, I'll make it easier and faster for high-skilled immigrants.
Stop. Listen to me. If you want pain, here comes the pain. Here is the liar-in-chief just landed in Vegas. Is he speaking?
Here he is again. 2 years ago.
There he is. See, I told you he'd be more... Did I say more passionate on Friday? Didn't I tell you this? I told you. He's amongst Hispanic school children now, his core audience.
Let me just say that whenever I fly to Vegas on Air Force One, the plane's a little more crowded. For some reason, folks want to come to Vegas.
Oh, now he's selling Vegas. I turn it off. I tell you, anytime he speaks now, I get a nausea. I get a nauseous feeling. But I told you what would happen. You remember the nice, quiet speech Tuesday that I was going to announce on Thursday? And I did a parody of how they were training him to speak moderately. I said, wait till Friday when he goes to Vegas. He's going to say, all right, now look, Friday, it's all the Hispanic audience. They were much more passionate. You got to amp it up there. Here we go. Turn it back up. Let's listen to him now.
Congress, who have been leading on immigration reform, they are doing...
Turn Franco off. Turn Fidel Franco off. I can't take it anymore. Here's the thing about a dictator like him, and Charlie Chaplin knew it, is that unless you stop him at Munich, he's going to take more. you must stop the man at Munich. This was his new, what do they call it, what the Muslims were doing for a while during the height of the terror, the trial runs. Obama is running a trial run to see what he can get away with. And he figures, look what I just did and nothing happened. He's having the time of his life. So tomorrow it will be global warming, the lie, the big lie. Then it will be guns. Oh, I don't mean they'll take your guns, Eddie. No, they'll make it so that you may as well not have a gun. They'll put a finger lock on you, let alone a trigger lock. They'll lock your finger up at night with where you need a federal code called in from the NSA to release your finger from your bedstead. This guy is an out-of-control control freak who is now trying to get away with anything he can. This just came out on the Drudge Report. Get ready to really get sick. New DHS rules. Drunk drivers, sex abusers, drug dealers, gun offenders, not top deportation priorities. Now, this character at Department of Homeland Security is a real stiff. Who the heck is Jeb Johnson? I don't even know what the name Jeb means, but let's say I'll accept it. I never look into a man's name. Jeb Johnson is a lawyer? What is his background? Where did they get this clown from? Drunk drivers, sex abusers, drug dealers, gun offenders, not top deportation priorities. Thanks, Matt. Drudge gets these faster than anybody. See, you see how you can rely on your government? Department of so-called Homeland Security has just released new policies for the apprehension, detention, and removal of undocumented immigrants. Designed to fill in the details after President Liar's announcement that at least 4 million currently illegal immigrants. The DHS guidelines are instructions for the nation's immigration officers. The new priorities are striking. On the tough side, the president wants U.S. immigration authorities to go after terrorists, felons, and new illegal border crossers. On the not-so-tough side, the lying administration views convicted drunk drivers, sex abusers, drug dealers, and gun offenders as second-level enforcement priorities. An illegal immigrant could spend up to a year in prison for a violent crime and still not be a top removal priority for the Obama administration. So why would DHS Secretary Jeb Johnson be doing this? Why would they want drug dealers in the country? Why would they want rapists in the country? Why would they want drunk drivers in the country? Why would they want gun offenders in the country? It's very worrisome. It's very worrisome. The problem is there's no opposition party. And certainly, with very rare exception, there are very, very few opposition press outlets for this amazing, amazing slap in the face of the law. Priority 2 offenders whose cases are less urgent than criminals in Priority 1 include the following. Aliens convicted of a significant misdemeanor, which for these purposes is an offense of domestic violence, so you can beat up your wife and stay in the country. Sexual abuse, you can rape a young girl or kidnap a young girl. That's no problem. They're not a man, nothing. Rape, no problem, man. That's part of the homeland. You know what I'm saying? Domestic violence is part. I think what he's doing here is this part of the cultural defense. I just got it. He wanted to be culturally sensitive. And since domestic violence is normal in some of these countries of origin, if you think I'm being flippant, you're wrong. Look into how they treat women in these countries. Sexual abuse? You think it's not rampant in these countries against children? You're mistaken. Burglary? It's a way of life down there. Unlawful possession or use of a firearm? Why would they keep them in this country? Now, this is a shocker. Drug distribution or trafficking is now not a priority for deportation? A drunk driver who kills you, that's not a thing? Okay, there I'm showing you how it is. DHS has just said aliens convicted of these offenses are not priority one for deportation. You have to do them 3 times in order for them to look into you. We have a sick criminal government in plain English, and I think that they're on the side of everything wrong. There's no other way to explain this. You know, they always say the devil is in the details. Well, the devil is in the writer of the speech and the deliverer of the speech, who is right now delivering the speech in Las Vegas, I predicted he would, to this audience of children. A very brave man indeed.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content,
psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We have breaking news about Obama's kick in the pants, kick in the guts. The rules have just been released from the so-called Department of Homeland Security. And drunk drivers, sex abusers, drug dealers, gun offenders are not top deportation priorities. I repeat, they're going to keep rapists, drunk drivers, and drug dealers in America. They're not deporting them. Now, I can ask you how you feel about it, but you know why he's doing this, and you know what he's doing. You know exactly what he's doing. This is far more demonic than you could ever imagine. Oh, some of the Hispanic activists are celebrating, but you know who's not celebrating? Black activists are speaking out against Obama's amnesty agenda. And I have some of their quotes, because what you're going to hear now from the white liberal is that if you oppose any of what Obama did, you're a racist. Well, I guess that makes all these black folks racist, too. Joe R. Hicks, former executive director of the Greater Los Angeles chapter of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, said President Obama strode into the White House promising to give the American people the audacity of hope. What we are witnessing instead with his immigration agenda is an audacious grab for power and an evisceration of a constitution. And then he said, after these 5 million or so, what then? The magnet that draws illegal immigrants across the border just got stronger. Demetrius Minor, youth minister and motivational speaker, said this: Barack Obama really had the potential to be an iconic president. It's a shame he's now relegated to someone who will be remembered most for not only dividing a nation, but for circumventing Congress in order to push his personal agenda. Stacey Washington, African-American talk host. She said, well, black liberals, sorry, but I have to put you on blast. Every time this country has pardoned illegal immigrants, crime and black unemployment have gone through the roof. Don't believe me? Check the statistics. Sorry again, black liberals, you just got dumped. Charles Butler, African-American talk host. The fact is, President Obama will do with the stroke of a pen what 300 years of slavery, Jim Crow, and legal segregation could not: destroy the hopes and dreams of millions of black Americans. His position on illegal immigration and reform is not tenable, given the numerous sources of information that warn of the negative impact of immigration reform on black Americans and low-income Americans. Have you had enough? Well, here's a little bit more. Christopher Ops, founder of the black social networking website MoveOnUp.org. Well, he tells his story in his own way. Shelby Emmett, lawyer and former congressional staff member. She said, I wish Obama would focus just 10% of his time on Americans and not illegals. Plenty of American parents lose their kids on a daily basis over silly things like breaking the law, she says. So there are the new black racists in America, according to Obama and liberals. Anyone who opposes Obama and the Hispanic mobs is a racist. So if you like your drunk drivers, you can keep your drunk drivers. If you like your wife beaters amongst them, don't worry, they're not going to be deported. If you like your rapists amongst them, don't worry, they're not going to be deported. You like your burglars, don't worry, they're not going anywhere. You like your immigrants with an unlawful possession of use of a firearm on their record, doesn't matter. Obama loves them. You like your immigrant who distributes drugs in your neighborhood? Don't worry, they're not going to be deported under the new DHS. I'm not making this up. I'm almost tongue-tied. Were they arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol? Okay, they're not being deported. I'm not making it up. They're priority to aliens, priority to offenders whose cases are less urgent than criminals in priority one, are not going to be deported. Now, priority one immigrants, I want to see what they are. Who would they actually deport? Here we go. Aliens engaged in or suspected of terrorism or espionage. Okay, they better look into the State Department for that one. Or who otherwise pose a danger to national security. I would say that you better start looking inside the government itself. It also includes aliens apprehended at the border, reports of entry while attempting to unlawfully enter the United States. What does that mean? In addition, any illegal immigrant convicted of an offense involving a criminal street gang or convicted of a felony, provided that immigration status was not an essential element of the charges targeted. What does that mean? Finally, any illegal immigrant convicted of an aggravated felony is included in priority one. What's an aggravated felony? You mean if you beat up your wife, that's not an aggregated felony? These people are crazy, by the way. They're illogical. They make no sense. So in other words, any alien convicted of a misdemeanor can stay here. Domestic violence, no problemo. Sexual abuse of a minor, no problemo. Arrested for burglary, no problemo. Unlawful possession of a firearm, no problemo. Come right in. You're a drug dealer, no problem. We need you in the Mission District. Well, you're arrested for driving while drunk and you ran someone over, no problem. It said that, or if not an offense listed above, one for which the individual is sentenced to time in custody of 90 days or more. So they've just written the law so that there is no law. That's the footnote to Obama's lying speech last night. So we have problems, and you know, you could eat your heart out about it and scream and yell, but those paid to do this took a vacation today. They botched the job. They left. McConnell and Boehner left town. I not so jokingly said, McConnell went back to Kentucky to hunt for his Thanksgiving turkey, and Boehner went back to Washington or wherever he's going to look for his wild turkey. It would be laughable if it wasn't laughable, or should be, I should say it would be funny if it wasn't pathetic. What else is going on? West Bank battle. Rift grows between Hamas and Palestinian Authority. Oh, leave me out of that one. Ferguson police arrest more protesters. Good. Arrest all of them, then you won't have any burning and looting. Let's see. You know the nerve of these protesters? They just brought in hundreds of lawyers from around the country, all the do-gooders, stupid liberals, are flying in there to harass the police with cameras and video and this and that. And the violent protesters want the police to agree in advance to not use tear gas and not to use any militarized vehicles. Can you believe they're telling the police what they can and cannot do to control the mobs when we know the mobs have already committed over 200 acts of violence in Ferguson, Missouri? Have you ever seen a time like this in America? I have. Yes, I have. And we're going there all over again with this administration. But the main thing is the cost. Obama's amnesty will cost America. We have an expert on that joining us at the bottom of the hour to give you the fiscal costs. Let's go to the callers in the meantime. WMAL in Washington. Suzanne, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Doug.
Suzanne, yeah, go ahead. Fire away.
Hi, Dr. Seuss. Thank you for taking my call. I'm sitting here actually stuck in traffic in the nation's capital with inside of the Washington Monument, Lincoln Memorial, and I'm listening to you, and I'm glad to listen to you, but I'm crying for my country, crying for everything that you're talking about right now.
Well, Obama's laughing in Las Vegas with all of the children of illegals over there. They're cheering him on. So what's your main point today?
Well, I was thinking, I'm just, the time to think here, listening to you, I'm thinking about this redistribution of wealth, and I know they say that these people are not eligible for any government benefits, but all the welfare that's available out there, I don't believe them. I know that.
Oh, they're lying. No, we have an expert on at the bottom of the hour. That's a complete lie.
Yes.
That's a complete and total lie. That's a disastrous lie.
Yes, they say that. Oh, no, they won't be eligible, but they will. So they.
Well, I'm going to actually name the programs that illegals are now sucking dry in America, to be very, very blunt about it. And it's not ending. Obama didn't end these programs. In fact, he just increased the number of people who can now take more of the public welfare than before. But what's your main call, Suzanne, about? I see that you say if illegals are collecting benefits, don't they spend the money and doesn't that benefit the economy? Is that your main point?
Well, I don't want to say that in a good way, but the people that, yes, they're collecting the benefits and then they're not saving the money, they're spending that money. So
well, now that is a common mistake that people make. They assume that the illegals are spending the money here, but there's a net transfer of American earned money that is sent back to their home country. The last I checked, it was running about $20 billion a year. That's the exact money they should be paying in taxes. They're sending it via Western Union and through other forms to Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua, and other places. So, no, they're not spending all of the money here. They're sending it back to their home country.
So it's not benefiting. Well, I was thinking it was probably benefiting.
Well, some of it is spent here. The folks have to eat. They have to drink. They have to drive a car. Of course they buy things. But a good portion of the money that should be going to the tax base is being sent back to their home country.
So it's even worse than I think. Instead of the money staying here, my tax dollars are going to...
Oh, well, there are businesses that benefit directly from illegals. I mean, you know that, and you don't have to be a genius to see that. Then businesses grow in these communities, as they have in all immigrant communities. But the bigger issue is how much of the money should be taxed is the question. See, I would put a tax on every Western Union transfer going to a foreign country. It's as simple as that. Because we know most of this money is either earned under the table or not, and they haven't paid their fair share of taxes, or it's illegally earned money through the sale of contraband. So there's nothing wrong with suggesting a tax on money sent out of the country, as far as I can tell. Thank you for the call. You got a question? I have an answer. The phone number is 855-400-7282. Let's see what else. Play us a little rock and roll, Neil. I need a breather, and then I'm not taking a break yet. I just need one of those songs that I picked. I didn't know about any of this stuff when I was a teenager. I guess teenagers don't know about any of this stuff. All I do is they have hormones and mathematics to deal with. That's about it. No, hormones and mathematics, that's the diametrical opposite. You know, the more I think about it, I think that geometry was introduced into the high school curriculum to suppress the sex urge. No, I'm telling you, it's about the one subject that you cannot think about, you know, that subject. How do you do mathematics and do that? Think about that one. No, when I was 15 years old, all I was thinking about how to get through the school year and who was I going to go out with on a Friday night. Remember that on a Friday night? Like, now you got nothing to look forward to on a Friday. Zero. Think about it. The kids are looking forward to Friday. They've worked all week in school, whatever. They've had a hard week scoring pot and evading tests and whatnot, seeing the shrink. But on Friday night, they're going to go to a party. They're going to have a fun time. The people who work, what do they actually do on a Friday night, the average person in America? The same thing. You can have a glass of wine in the dinner and watch television. That's your reward for a week's worth of work and putting up with Obama. What is he going to do to party tonight in Las Vegas? That's what I want to know. I want a handy cam in the president's private suite tonight. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Celebrating in the street tonight. They had their victory dance. The foreign funded group La Raza, The Race. Can you imagine a white group called The Race being invited into the White House? Just think how things have changed. Okay, immigrants. I'm more interested in geometry versus hormones or mathematics versus hormones amongst high school students. I mean, this is of no interest to me anymore. This puppet of some powers that we can never imagine, and I say that lightly, he's not really a puppet. He is certainly more powerful than you may imagine. But there's growing evidence that he is a puppet of certain forces. But I truly believe that history really has not been kind to dictators. If you look back at the entire history of people who have megalomania, it usually doesn't end well for them. History has a way of leveling them out in their lifetime. Not all. Stalin died in his own bed, by the way. Mussolini didn't end too well for him. He looked like a mortadella at the end. But Hitler, the bunker job, him and Eva, not good. But if you look at dictators, even on a minor scale, it doesn't always end well for them. I don't know how Castro's still around. The guy's sick for the last 15 years now. Interestingly enough, when Fidel Castro got sick, he didn't use a local Cuban doctor. I mean, they always talk about how great the Cuban medical system is. He didn't use a Cuban doctor. I think he went to Miami to a Jewish doctor, where he flew him in from Spain. He didn't use one of his doctors from the University of Havana. How does he live, though? All those cigars and the women and the wine and the... He's still living, though. He didn't get a heart attack, nothing. But by and large, dictators don't end well. Actually, now that I think about it, they do. I think my theorem is wrong. I think dictators they live very well. Look, if Castro's still living, a brutal murderer. He hasn't paid for it yet. All right, Mussolini's an example. He didn't end well. I'm thinking about it out loud. Hitler didn't end well for himself. It should have happened in 1913, but all right, it was a few years too late. But can you think of any dictators who actually paid for their crimes against their citizens in the world? Other than Mussolini and Hitler, now that I think about it. Pol Pot, look what he did to Cambodia. Did he get punished in the end? I don't know the history of Pol Pot. I don't even eat in Cambodian restaurants, to be honest with you. There are some in the Bay Area, but I tend to avoid them. I'm not a fan of that cuisine, to be honest with you. I'd rather see my food. Let's let it go at that. It's a family show. But there are certain ethnic cuisines I don't like. I'm supposed to now watch a show. I'm not a racist to eat any ethnic cuisine. Like, I'm not going to be seen eating Eritrean food. Let's put it to you that way. Afghan food, I won't go near it. I get the creeps when I go in an Afghan restaurant. There's one restaurant in the North Beach area. I get the eerie feeling that there's a... Well, let's forget. Things I can't say on the radio that I'd like to say, I can say in other places. Mainly when I'm alone in a room screaming at the television, as I did last night. When Obama gave his lying speech, alone in a room with my dog, and the dog ran out of the room.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The devastation that Obama has wrought last night is like a ticking time bomb. The hospitals will be devastated. The schools will be devastated. Many aspects of our society will be hurt. They will be harmed. I will predict right now, and it's not a very pleasant thing for me to say, that the black community will be hurt the most by what this first black president has done. And it's amazing to me that he would choose to shaft his own heritage. I don't understand this. I don't understand what's in his mind, what's in his thinking. But joining us now is a man who knows the dollars and cents value. Steve Moore is the chief economist for the Heritage Foundation, former chief economist of the Wall Street Journal. And yesterday I touched on the amnesty costs. And I'd like to get some real facts here. Steve, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. It's great to be on your show. I listen to you every day on WMAL in Washington, D.C. So privileged to be with you.
Well, you're one of the top people in this field. Of the high cost of cheap labor, Steve Moore. Steve, give the people the simple version. The one I have from O2 says that households headed by illegal aliens imposed more costs than they paid in taxes. What do you have the numbers on that?
Well, let me back up a minute. Actually, I'm very pro-immigration. I think immigrants are good for our country, and I think, you know, especially the people who are the brainiacs and the people who have these advanced degrees and who start businesses. So immigration is not something I'm against. I'm actually for it. I think that what President Obama did last night, what I agree with you entirely, is an abomination. It is tearing up
the... Uh-oh, your phone is breaking up, Steve. You're going to have to call us back on a landline. Sorry about that. The fact of the matter is that the majority of illegal aliens lack a high school degree. They're not the educated people. And he's bringing in the least educated, not the most educated, which will be a burden on our society, not an asset to our society. I hope Steve can call us back on a more secure line. Until he does. Until he does, we'll take some calls. Here on KSFO, San Francisco, Clifton, go ahead, please. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Mike, what's going on, man? Long-time listener, man. Hey, man, the real travesty about this whole immigration situation, man, is the effect that it's going to have on the 18 to 35-year-old African-American male, okay? The continental-born African-American male, okay? The whole issue with this...
So why is the black community not marching about this instead of marching about Ferguson? Why did they let themselves be led around by the nose by white liberal Marxists? Tell me the answer to that one.
Mike, is beyond me. I wish I knew. Some of us know, and some of us don't know. That's all I can tell you, my brother.
You know, Clifton, that's a great, Clifton, that's a wonderful statement. I remember when I was 18, I wrote down this. I wrote, those who know will always know, and those who don't will never. In other words, there are people who are incapable of seeing what's right in front of their nose.
That's my whole point right there, Mike. But I'm going to tell you an even deeper point that you might not even thought about. Now, it's a real, real deep thing, deal, dark secret in the African-American community that Africans, black Africans from Africa do not like American blacks. They just don't. They seem superior. Everyone that I've ever met always gave me this, you know, higher than thou thing and look down on you like the Muslims do to anybody else. You understand?
It's so wait. This is an interesting point, and it's something you would be sensitive to that I wouldn't be because I'm not living that life. But is Steve back with us in a minute? Steve, stay 1 second. I don't want to hang up abruptly on Clifton. Are you saying then that Obama favoring his bringing in of Africans as another Africans from Africa now, continental Africans, is an affront to the African-American community?
Yes.
All right, we're going to have to pause on that line. That's something I knew nothing about. Steve Moore, Chief Economist, Heritage Foundation, welcome back. Steve, so what are the fiscal costs of illegals?
Well, you know, as I was saying, that I do think immigrants, you know, when they come in legally, Michael, and they come in the right way and they wait their turn and they come with the kind of skills and the talents that we need in this country are beneficial.
We all agree on that, but that's not who Obama addressed last night, is he?
And my point is what President Obama did last night is A, unconstitutional. I don't think there's any question about that. And B, will be extremely costly, potentially, to the American taxpayers. Now, President Obama said last night, Michael, you heard him say this, that these illegal immigrants will not be eligible for Obamacare. I do not believe that is true. In fact, I bet you, Michael, you have me on your show 2 years from now, I'll bet you Barack Obama is going to be giving speeches about, I just signed up 5 million more people for Obamacare. That is going to happen.
Yes. As a matter of fact, we know this is true. We've seen it over the months. They were appealing in Spanish in the immigrant communities. But tell me about the fiscal cost, because people say, are they not qualified for treatment for the uninsured, food assistance such as food stamps, WIC, free school lunches? How about the cost of the federal prison and court systems? How about federal aid to schools? Aren't these real hard costs caring for
them? I'm estimating, you know, that this quote amnesty is going to cost taxpayers a minimum of about $30 billion a year. Now, that's billion with a B, Michael, and we're talking about a federal government that is already running deficits of over $500 billion a year. Where in the world is the money going to come from but American taxpayers?
Steve, come on, you know this guy prints money and devalues our currency, and that's what he's going to do is keep printing it.
We can't keep doing that, Michael. I think every American knows that this party does not have a happy ending. When you continue to print money, you continue to borrow money. And that's one of the reasons Americans are so economically anxious. I mean, this is a house of cards that our economy is built on right now. It's built on debt and cheap money and borrowing. And you just can't keep doing that if you want to be a world-class superpower economically. So I'm very nervous about the economic ramifications of this. We need immigrants to come into this country legally. We have a right as a sovereign nation to decide who comes and who does not come. And I would make the case to you, Michael, this decision about who we allow to become Americans, that may be the most important decision Congress makes, and that decision has been taken away from the legislative branch by this president's, basically saying that he is now an emperor.
Well, I agree with you, but let's talk about educated immigrants that we need, because I'm not certain I fully understand the H-1B visa situation. I know that Microsoft and Facebook and Google and other high-tech companies have lobbied very hard for this pseudo-amnesty program or crypto-amnesty program that Obama passed last night or said he will pass. Are there not high-tech workers in America who could be doing these jobs?
Well, look, I believe we need the smart, intelligent, you know, we need engineers, we need mathematicians, we need physics, whizzes. We need people who, if you go to Silicon Valley, as you know, you're right outside of Silicon Valley. I mean, so many of these businesses were created by immigrants. So I think those folks are highly beneficial to the American
economy. But what I'm worried about are the American-trained and born high-tech workers who don't seem to be counted here. Are there any? Many?
There is competition. There's no question about it. But, you know, a lot of those businesses wouldn't even be there if we didn't have the immigrant talent. And, you know, look, we've been accepting immigrants for, 200 years as a nation. And it's been, I do not buy the argument that immigrants take jobs from Americans. What I do, if someone wants to come here and work, Michael, we should be in favor of it. It's the immigrants who want to come here on welfare and live off of American citizens. That is something I find highly objectionable, and I find highly objectionable the idea that we're
But Stephen, you said the costs are $30 billion a year. I want to go back to the welfare. Are immigrants illegal or otherwise entitled to Medicaid?
Well, it depends. They certainly are not supposed to be eligible for Medicaid, but we know from the reality that they are getting Medicaid. We know.
Okay. And food stamps. Are they entitled under Obama's plan to get food stamps?
He says no, but I believe that they will be. I believe.
Okay.
And I go by just historical precedent. Once they become legal citizens here, they're going to be eligible for these programs. What are we going to have, a two-tiered welfare program?
Now, what about the horrible, horrible devastation in our educational system as a result of so much money being funneled into English as a second language? Instead of focusing on some of our most brilliant kids and taking care of them, the money is going to immigrant kids who can't even speak the language. That's lopsided as far as I can see.
I'm with you on this one, too. Why in the world? Well, we've had immigrants come to this country for, as I said, 200 years. They came as Germans. They came as Italians. They came as Vietnamese and Chinese. When, Michael, did we start creating these English as a second language programs? I mean,
That was created in the 1960s, but when the radical left took control of the Great Society. Of course they did. I mean, I know some Chinese folks who came from immigrant Chinese parents who became surgeons, they became business titans. They weren't learning in Cantonese or Mandarin. They were learning in English. They had to learn English before they could go to school.
Do you know why that doesn't happen anymore, Michael? Because the left does not want to assimilate immigrants into the American culture because they hate the American culture. They don't want assimilation. They're working against it. And that's, I think, something that is so insidious because we want to Americanize the foreign-born. That's what's happened since the Mayflower.
Well, we agree on almost everything, and I certainly understand the importance of bringing in immigrants that we need, but I'm still not sure that we actually need immigrants in the high-tech area. And certainly you could say if you're coming here to start a business and you're bringing in $100,000 of seed money, come on in. But if you're coming here with a disease and you don't have a dime in your pocket, can we go back to Emma Lazarus' statement of give me, you're tired, you're poor, and you're hungry? People say, isn't that what the Statue of Liberty says? My answer is simple. When the Emma Lazarus motto was engraved on the Statue of Liberty, there was no welfare state. Steve, it's a different time.
It's interesting because for our history as a nation of immigrants has been, when you came here, let's say, the great tide of immigrants who came in the early 20th century, if you came into this country and you had some kind of communicable disease, or if you were disabled, or if you were going to pee what they called a, quote, public charge, which meant that if you were going to go on welfare, they would not let you into the country. Now we...
Those are the people that Obama seems to be favoring.
Exactly. It's all upside down. Our immigration system right now is completely upside down. It's not working for America. I favor an overhaul of the immigration system, but Michael, what the president did yesterday is so toxic, has created so much animosity between the parties. Now I don't think we're going to see any kind of immigration reform. I think that the thing is going to be, paralyzed for years. This is a president.
Steve, I said the same thing the other day. If you want immigration reform, fine. Let's talk about it. Let's have a national dialogue. Let both parties sit down and talk about what kind of immigrants we want, what their education level should be, what their minimal investment in the country should be, etc. Nations of origin also are important, but we're not talking about it. This man is giving a wholesale blanket amnesty to 5 million people.
It is a perversion of our immigration system, of our laws and our constitution, and even people like me. We can agree to disagree on some of the benefits of immigration, but we agree that there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And very few Americans. And by the way, I don't even think the president cares about these people. This is purely politics. This is all politics.
Well, we agree on that, and it's about Democrat voters and nothing but. Steve Moore, Chief Economist, the Heritage Foundation, you're doing fabulous work, and I think that people have to focus more and more on your publications, especially the fiscal costs of illegal immigration. And thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you.
It's 47 minutes after the hour. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Give me the breaking news sounder. I'll do it. We have breaking news. Obama is doing a victory dance in Las Vegas after breaking the borders, stepping on our language, and spitting on our culture. New DHS rules came out. You're not going to believe it. Drunk drivers, sex abusers, drug dealers, gun offenders will not be deported. Next up, Ferguson. This is the Savage Nation. Let's take your calls right here on this program. John on WMAL in Washington, D.C. Go ahead, please.
Michael Savage. I come from your age group, born in 1940. I love your music. I love...
Whoa. My age group, I'm 49 years old myself, so...
Sorry. Oh, 40. Oh, get out of here. But anyway, you were talking about those beautiful blue pants with the saddle stitch. You didn't mention they were peg pants, and they were something. I could see why you were upset when they got a hole in the thing. That
yep.
had to be reweaved. But anyway, I got grandchildren. I'm concerned about them because I think they could do a remake of It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart, where they show what would have happened if he were never born and how bad it was. And I think with Obama, since he was born, you can do a show about America with no future. That it's a miserable life, and he's going full bore.
Yeah. Why is he intent on destroying everything good about the country? Why? Why does he? What is he doing to us?
He's got a lot of hatred. I don't know who indoctrinated him.
You know, that's exactly right, and no one's daring to say it. I was going to take this subject on. It's a very big topic. In order to do this properly, it has to be carefully thought out to do it where I can't be attacked. But there is a lot of hatred, but not towards all individuals and all races in the country. There's a lot of hatred toward the white person in this country coming out of this administration. He wants to make certain that the European-American tradition in this country is either diminished or destroyed. There's a vendetta against the European-American culture that I see emanating from this White House. There is no other explanation for his pandering to forces opposed to the European-American experience. I will stand by those words, and I'd like to expand on those words, and I certainly would invite you to expand on those words. There is an enmity from Barack Hussein Obama that is aimed squarely at the European-American population. Agree or disagree? Well, you can add the black American population as well, because black intellectuals are saying what I just said. Be here or be nowhere. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Break this record. I don't like it. Turn it off. It's not my cup of tea. Picked by someone else. It's The Savage Nation. Rock and Roll Friday. I'd rather have something along the lines of what I like. And what I like would be something like either I Ran All the Way Home, which we played, or I Only Have Eyes for You by the Flamingos, or In the Still of the Night by the Five Satins. Most of the people who grew up on the Five Satins are now on the Five Statins, but that's a separate story. This is also too slow. You could fall asleep till I get to the second lyric. I turn that off. Let's go to I Hear You Knocking by Gail Storm.
I hear you knocking.
I had no idea it was suggestive as a kid.
But you can't come in.
I turn it off. It's too suggestive. I had no idea. You know, when you look back on the rock and roll, most of the songs were dirty. I mean, like Hound Dog, Elvis Presley, dirty. The only ones that weren't dirty were boring, like I'm Gonna Live Till I Die by Frankie Lane. Let's hear that corny song.
Turn it upside down, I'm gonna live till I die.
Right, turn it off, right. Riding the bus in the slush, going to a job after school, three jobs, four jobs. Now the immigrants come in on a silver platter. They don't get what they want, they riot. They call them dreamers, I have another name for them, they're called schemers to me. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Meanwhile, in Ferguson, the peaceful protesters were chanting last night outside the police department. What do we want? Darren Wilson. How do we want him? Dead. Now, they're trying to dictate to the police department the rules of engagement. And to help them, your president just sent 100 FBI agents to make sure the police can't do their job and make sure that the so-called protesters who want to hang Darren Wilson get all the help in the world from lawyers and FBI agents. It's a world turned upside down by this psychotic in the White House. And that's the question for the hour today. Why does Obama hate the communities in America that I have mentioned in the last hour? It's not limited to the European American community, because we're hearing from black voices who are saying the same thing. We're hearing that this amnesty deal will hurt the black person more than anyone else in this country. What do you think is the psychological issue at stake here? I'm not a psychiatrist, but I'd like to know, if we have a psychiatrist or some in the audience who think about this, where does this loathing come from? Why is this man such a man? What makes Obama what he is? WBAP in Dallas, Texas. David, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, hi. I'm a psychotherapist, and as you were asking that question, what jumped into my mind was that, you know, I think he has the self-loathing because he's a mixed race. He doesn't fit in either culture. And so there's almost a revenge, if you will, that I can't be black enough, I can't be white enough, so I'll go after the Latinos.
And gee, that's an interesting viewpoint. That's very controversial, what you said, but I'd be amiss if I didn't tell you I think about these things on a regular basis, because his enmity towards America is so overwhelming. We just learned in the last hour that he's not going to be deporting child molesters, drug dealers, those on gun charges. It seems that the lowest scum amongst the immigrants are not going to be deported. What the heck is this man doing?
Trying to take the country down. I think that's been his agenda from day one.
And okay, so let's go. Let's take the worst view of him that we're presenting. He does hate America. He does want to take it down. You're saying this is because he has a division within himself?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you who comes to mind, and this is a terrible thing to say. There was another leader in the last century who, as you well know, ordered the destruction of the Jewish people in Germany. And it is said that he had Jewish blood himself. Did you ever read that?
Yes.
And I don't know whether it's been validated that Hitler had Jewish blood, and that's he was trying to, in his own mind, eliminate that in his own person. And so he turned it on the Jewish people. Is there any validity to that theory?
I think that is one of the primary things that's going on here. Is that he can't commit suicide, so he's just going to take out that part of the society that represents himself. And in this case, like I say, he's of mixed race, and so who how does he fit that in is by bringing down those two parts of a particular nation as best he can using whatever tools he needs.
Well, let's analyze this before we're called names that don't apply to us. If I had not read in the last hour statements by African-American intellectuals who say that he is hurting them and they will be hurt more than any other group in America, I would say that we could be accused of racism. But there are black intellectuals who look at this the same way that you are.
Exactly.
So well, this is a real problem for us, isn't it? How is this going to end? How does this end if this man keeps up this vendetta against black people and European Americans? How does this end?
Well, we end up losing the republic.
Okay. Well, we'll leave it at that. I don't know that it's going to go that far until he's stopped by his own party. And I have to go back to my first statement of yesterday's show, is that I believe that the party elders in the Democrat Party know that he's a disaster for the Democrat Party and that he's never going to be able to bring in enough Hispanics in time for 2016 to elect or select, rather, the next president. He will be stopped by the next Congress. So the question is, what do you think might happen in the next year or so to stop the mania of this president and his vendetta against America? Because he's anything but a lame duck president. Remember that. If we saw anything last night, is that he is not stoppable in his own mind, and that he will continue to do anything he can to promote the far left agenda. And I wonder if the Democrat Party itself will not step in to stop him. Now the question is, what can they do to do that? What can they do to affect that? Is the question. I don't know exactly what. Let's say that there's a moderate wing of very powerful Democrats who have a lot at stake and recognize he's destroying their enterprise, their business, the business of government. What could they do? Could they join with the Republican leadership to stop Obama? Perhaps that's what will happen. I don't really know. You know, but something happened the other day that came and went in the news that no one's talking about that was very alarming. Steve Wynn and this fabulous Wynn hotel chain was accused of money laundering. Not found guilty, not indicted, but they're being investigated by the so-called Justice Department for money laundering. Sheldon Adelson, billionaire in Las Vegas, a big member of the Republican coalition, has been investigated now by the Justice Department for money laundering, I believe. This is a political attack by Obama right after the election on his political enemies. So who's next? Now that brings us to a subject I have not discussed, and I don't intend to open it up to discussion, and that is the Bill Cosby affair. Many women have come forward accusing him of sexual crimes against them. Whether these are true or false, I don't know. I do believe that we're a nation of laws, and any individual is entitled to a trial before being condemned. But he's been condemned. He's lost his shows. His life has been ruined. His commercial life has been destroyed by these allegations, whether they're true or false, the damage has been done. The question is, why Bill Cosby and why now? Was Bill Cosby himself not somewhat against Obama in some regard? Didn't he say things about the caustic nature of certain aspects of this culture and how it was affecting African-American youth? And I wonder if there's not an orchestrated attempt, sort of along the lines of the Night of Long Knives, that a certain dictator engaged in after he had secured his power, where he started to decimate people who had previously supported him but not sufficiently enough. Research the Night of the Long Knives before you comment on my suggestion as to the next phase of this administration's dastardly acts. Because if you think that what he did last night was bad, you are right. But I think it goes much deeper than that. It's going to get much worse than that. I think we're about to enter into a reign of terror on his domestic enemies unlike anything you can ever imagine. That's what I fear the most. Now let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation to see what you think. WMAL in Washington, D.C. Jerry, go ahead, please. Your opinion counts.
Yeah, how are you today?
What's on your mind?
Good. What do you think about the seed that was put in his mind, I believe the black radical communist that he met early in life.
Oh, you mean Frank Marshall Davis?
Davis, yeah, that put the seed in his mind
We know that he's oriented towards that direction. We know that he's not an American in the sense of believing in the American economic model. That we know. But I'm talking about the much deeper psychological hatred that he seems to have for this country. Remember what he said from the day he began. He said, I'm going to be a transformational president. So does that mean bringing in uneducated, unskilled Hispanics from Mexico, Guatemala, and El Salvador? Is that what he means by transforming America? So what does that mean? What is this country going to become? A third world banana republic? Is that what he wants? Well, I don't know. Why doesn't someone ask him? He's not bringing in highly skilled workers that we need. He's not bringing in people with money to start businesses. So what is the end result here? What are we going to look like? We're going to look like Guatemala. We're going to look like Mexico. Is that what you've wanted in America? You've always wanted to live in a third world nation? New DHS rules. Drunk drivers, sex abusers, drug dealers, gun offenders, not top deportation priorities. It was published up on the top of the Drudge Report. If that doesn't alarm you, if that doesn't tell you what is driving these individuals in this administration, including the DHS, the shadowy secretary, Jed Johnson. Who is this guy? How does he write rules like this? Does anyone know who Jed Johnson is and why he would pass rules that say you're not going to deport drunk drivers, sex abusers, etc.? Think about this. Tomorrow, it's Ferguson. They sent 100 FBI agents there to make sure that the protesters can burn and loot. I'll be right back. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUYCOIN. A president cannot make law. Do you understand why? The ancient men that you've been taught to laugh at and dismiss, the old white males who created this nation, the founding fathers, as it were, sounds like an antiquated, quaint term, were wise enough to create a government of checks and balances. And in that set of laws that they created the nation with, they created a set of checks and balances, which means a president has tremendous power, but not absolute power. And so they said a president cannot make law. He can only faithfully execute the law. Do you understand why they did that? Because they didn't want a king taking over a country. We fought against the king. But now we have a man who, because of his background, because of the secret hands that selected him way back in college and greased the skids for him from that day forward, he realizes in his own mind that he cannot be stopped. But I will tell you that there's a paralogical part of me that says he will be stopped. Obama's immigrant surge threatens to destroy America. Page 31 of Stop the Coming Civil War. Here's what I wrote. How far has it gone? Well, let me tell you a true story about an illegal alien suing the people who rescued him. In September of 2013, floodwaters submerged the car Roy Ortiz was driving outside the town of Lafayette, Colorado. Heroes from the North Metro Fire Department risked their lives by diving into what had become a raging river. How did Mr. Ortiz display his gratitude to those who rescued him from certain death? He filed a notice of intent to sue the town and those who saved his life for $500,000. He claims that signs should have been posted warning drivers of the danger and that crews should have realized he was trapped in his car and pulled him out sooner than they did. The North Metro Fire Department responded this way to Ortiz's intent to sue. I'm sure it was a traumatic experience for Ortiz, their spokesman said. Ultimately, we were just very grateful we were able to save his life that day. Shortly after his intent to sue was filed in March of 2014, Ortiz's attorney admitted to Fox News that his client was in the country illegally. But you see, Ortiz is one of millions of illegal immigrants who are attempting to find ways to game the system in the United States, taking advantage of a federal government that is bypassing the law to make it possible for illegals to stay in this country and receive food, welfare money, medical care, and education for their children at taxpayer expense.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
This one goes out to all of the 47% of people who don't work for a living, but just love Obama. It is the Savage Nation. Of course, we're talking about the fraud in the White House with this fraudulent amnesty program, et cetera. And we're talking about that. We're talking about the alcoholic story. Most heavy drinkers are not alcoholics, says the New York Times, based on a government report. So in other words, if you're not falling down drunk, you still have a problem. Excessive drinking is defined as drinking too much at one time or over the course of a week. For men, it's having five or more drinks in one sitting. How about in one lying? Or 15 drinks or more during a week. So if you're drinking more than two a day now, you're a drunk. So this is a move by the government to push you into antidepressants, tranquilizers, anything that's good for you that's not controlled by these vermin in the federal government. New York Times, the government is now trying to move us back to prohibition. That's right. They're pushing everyone away from alcohol and into big pharma, into antidepressants, tranquilizers. They're trying to argue that if you have more than a certain number of drinks a week, you're a heavy drinker and not an alcoholic. The clown show is getting worse by the day. Humor is king. All we can do is laugh at this fool in the White House at this point. He is a laughable clown, a dangerous laughable clown. I mean, you know, Freddy comes to mind, or some of the other villainous clowns that we've seen over the years in movies. But he is a clown. Make no mistake about it. But the bigger clown is John Boehner. They fled town today. You saw what the Republicans did? They already closed down for Thanksgiving. What are they going, on a turkey shoot? They don't know Safeway sells frozen birds? McConnell went back to Kentucky to go shoot turkeys? Where are they? The day after Obama gives the most devastating speech of our lives, the two clowns from the Republican circus are out there looking for turkeys. Well, that's why we the people are stuck. We're really stuck between I shouldn't say a rock and a hard place, because that's a hackneyed phrase. I'll use another phrase, but it's a family show. If you like your illegal, you can keep your illegal. So here are some of the questions that I want to ask you. Did you watch Obama's speech last night? I did. I went crazy. I was screaming. The dog ran out of the room. I was alone in a room watching this liar, this liar, everything that came out of his mouth. I was having a drink, I'll admit it. You know, it came on at 5 o'clock here. And remember, my show got over at 3, and it was dark already and raining. I had to have a drink. I'm drinking a vodka and, what do I drink? A Perrier with lime, maybe a touch of orange juice. I find that the juice gives you a headache because of the sugar. Vodka is very good without any sugar. And I swear to God, by the time that speech was a minute into it, I was infuriated, screaming, cursing. I was cursing the TV. Maybe I was unloading what I can't say on the radio every day on this show. I cursed that SOB from the bottom of my heart to the top. I was afraid the NSA was going to get it on tape. I was afraid that maybe there was a drone outside my office and they were spying on what I was screaming at him. But I don't think it's reached that point. I hated everything he said. It got me crazy. Not because I didn't expect this, but because he's such a patent phony. You can look right through this character, and it makes you viscerally angry. So I was going to ask you, how did you feel watching Obama's lies last night? Then I was going to ask you this. Are you a high-tech worker looking for a job? The big lie is they can't get him. They need to bring him in from India. Are you kidding me? All right, how did you feel watching the liar last night? As I say, I was screaming and yelling, and I'll tell you why. Here's what got to me. He was making it sound as though every Hispanic is a saint. Every one of them. Of the millions, 30 million, he knows them personally. They all have a personal story. They're wonderful people. There's no drug dealers, no murderers, no rapists, no drunk drivers amongst them. They're all saints. Every one of them is a wonderful person. If only he thought that about the Americans who just voted 2 weeks ago. No. Every one of them is a saint. And that's what got me mad. Really mad. If you want pain, here comes the pain. Here's the liar in chief, just landed in Vegas. Is he speaking? There he is. See, I told you he'd be more. Did I say more passionate on Friday? Didn't I tell you this? I told you. He's amongst Hispanic school children now, his core audience.
Let me just say that whenever I fly to Vegas on Air Force One, the plane's a little more crowded. for some reason, folks want to come to Vegas.
Oh, now he's selling Vegas. I turn it off. I tell you, anytime he speaks now, I get a nausea. I get a nauseous feeling. But I told you what would happen. You remember the nice, quiet speech Tuesday that he was going to announce on Thursday? And I did a parody of how they were training him to speak moderately. I said, wait till Friday when he goes to Vegas. He's going to say, all right, now look, Friday, it's all the Hispanic audience. They were much more passionate. You got to amp it up there. Here we go. Turn it back up. Let's listen to him now.
Congress, who have been leading on immigration reform, they are doing...
Turn Franco off. Turn Fidel Franco off. I can't take it anymore. Here's the thing about a dictator like him, and Charlie Chaplin knew it, is that unless you stop him at Munich, he's going to take more. So the scorched earth rampage that Joseph Curl wrote about is what's going to happen as a result of this illegal act by the president. Now, we could argue about this all we want, and there'll be people on the side for it and those against it. But let's look at it from the fiscal point of view. Even the wide-eyed college student who thinks that all immigrants come here to work and it's racism to oppose them must understand that they themselves are going to be sacrificed on the altar of liberalism once they go out into the workforce, and once they actually earn a check, and once they look at the, deductions that are taken out of their paycheck, their mouths will fall open when they realize how much their taxes are. Many of them have never worked a day in their lives. They never washed a car. They never babysat. They never worked in a laundry. They were never a busboy or a waiter. They were lucky enough to come from a middle-class home where their mother and father sent them to college, so they've never worked, so they don't know what real work is. They don't know what a paycheck is. And so when they look at their paycheck, they'll come to realize that those high taxes go for paying Social Security, Medicare, unemployment insurance, workers' compensation. And all of the other benefits that the average American gets will now be available to the 30 million illegal aliens that Obama will suddenly, with his scepter, grant a pseudo-citizenship to. This will cost a great deal of money because they're entitled to Medicaid, food stamps, the refundable earned income tax credit, public housing, supplemental security income. Even if they're not legally able to access these programs, most of them are already gaining access to these programs illegally. Most of them are using our hospitals. They don't need Obamacare. They're going to your hospital and they're bankrupting your hospital. I've been in these emergency rooms right here in my community. Unfortunately, I had to go 3-4 times last year for various events. See, I don't have a doctor. I know it's strange every time I don't want to make it too personal, but I've been very lucky so far. If I go into an emergency room, the first thing they ask me is, who's your doctor? I said, I have none. They look at me, they say, it's impossible. What medications are you on? I say, none. Vitamins and aspirin, vodka and wine and garlic. They don't know. They think I'm telling them a fib. I don't have a doctor. And they don't have doctors either, but they don't need doctors because they use the hospitals instead of doctors. And when I was in these emergency rooms, I was amazed. You'd see children with a flu from Mexico, for example, with 10 family members sitting in there behind the tent with not only doctors and nurses tending to their every need and every imagined need for fear that the vermin in the ACLU will sue the hospital and the doctor, but there's a translator there. You have no idea what this is costing you. And you will have no idea until you actually go to work for a living like a grown man. And as they say, look, I was once young and I was once a liberal. In fact, I was once a social worker. In fact, I am the son of an immigrant, so I have sympathies towards immigrants. But it took me a while to lift the veil off this whole issue of immigration until I saw through it and realized what it is. And there's a much bigger picture here than you may imagine. It's not the hardworking busboy or the gardener or the maid or the cook that we all see every day. It's the silent millions sitting at home who do not work. They're not the gardeners. They're not the cooks. They're not the maids. They're sitting at home knocking out babies like loaves of bread because each baby is a meal ticket and each baby needs to be educated and medicated. Need I remind you that these things cost money? So there are real fiscal costs that have been analyzed. And now let's look forward, all you youngsters out there who think that Michael Savage is a mean guy, just a mean right winger. Let's listen to him and laugh. Let's say you're in your 20s and you've been brainwashed in the schools, which you have been. Well, I'm going to take you forward 20 years to when these illegal aliens will retire, those that Obama will grant instant citizenship to. And then they retire and they suddenly cash in on Social Security. What's going to happen when you retire and you want to cash in on Social Security and the funds are not there? What are you going to do then? Who are you going to blame, me or you? There's a saying that anyone who is not a liberal at 20 has no heart. But there's another saying that says anyone who's still a liberal at 40 has no mind. And I changed that to this, which is, what do you call a liberal with two children? The answer is a conservative. I can go further if you wish. Which is, what do you call a liberal with three children, a Tea Party member? What do you call a liberal with four children? You just run the numbers and make up anything you'd like to. So a lot of this has to do with people living on the dole, whether it's their parents or inherited money, who think that they're above it, it doesn't really matter to them. The average middle-class American is not going to be directly affected by this. Let's say middle-upper-class American will not be affected by this amnesty directly or immediately. It's the poor who will be affected immediately. But most particularly, it is the ultra-rich, like Facebook's founder, Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, the benevolent dictator who runs Microsoft, the Google guys who have just been granted a hangar at NASA's Ames Research Center for reasons nobody can understand. You talk about welfare? You talk about welfare? How about granting a giant NASA hangar for their private plane at the NASA Ames Research Center airfield down near San Jose? No one's looking into that, but that's in Nancy Pelosi's backyard. And, of course, that airplane was used, if I'm not mistaken, to ferry Nancy Pelosi's daughter to her wedding, courtesy of the Google executives. But that's another story that didn't make it to the news. I just love how all of these do-gooder liberals are just so in favor of the poor. But it seems to me it's very much like the missionaries who came to Hawaii 150 years ago to do good and did very well indeed. That was an old saying I learned when I was living in Hawaii. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Today we're talking about the high cost of cheap immigrant labor, and what you don't know will hurt you, okay? Let's lay it out for you. They pay a certain amount in taxes, and then they take a lot out more in social services. They cost us well over $3,500 per illegal immigrant household, which adds up to an astounding number of billions of dollars. But worse than that, speaking about the illegal immigrants from the fiscal point of view, and I'm going to advise you to do what I do in Stop the Coming Civil War, which is your architectural plan for saving America going forward. Stick to the fiscal arguments. That way you can't be attacked as being a racist, which you aren't. We all know what this is about. It's about destroying our economy. Let me explain it to you. Once illegal aliens are enrolled in a tax system, they're going to be entitled to EITC payments. What's an EITC payment? Earned Income Tax Credit. What is that? That is very simple. I don't know what it is, but it's very Orwellian. And what it is that you send a gift to low-income families who are working. They get money for working. Wouldn't that be nice? So let's say there are two illegals with three or more children, and if they earn less than $46,000 together, they're going to get a check from you for $6,143 in 2014. What if it's an illegal family with two kids that Obama just legalized and an income of $20,000? They're getting a check of $14,590 in taxpayer funds this year alone. Here's the big problem. This program is already poorly monitored and is subject to large amounts of fraud. By the way, another study says that 47% of legal and illegal immigrants and their children are classified as living in poverty or near poverty. So what does that mean? It means nothing. The government will take care of them. In addition to this, the Social Security Trust Fund will lose billions of dollars. Why? Many illegals have fake Social Security numbers that their employers use to pay payroll taxes for them on, right? Where does that money go? Well, about $6 billion in annual payroll taxes are allocated to non-existent Social Security accounts. Where does that money go? The poor get poorer, and poor Americans are going to be paying for the price of the illegal immigrants. And that's all I have to say on this sad subject of Emperor Obama's amnesty for illegal aliens. Well, what else is in the news? Let's go to michaelsavage.com. for the latest news, views, and reviews. On the right, Savage says, if you like your illegal, you can keep your illegal. On the left, it says, how to reverse Obama's executive orders and stop illegals. And that's by buying Stop the Coming Civil War while you still can. Illegals get pay raise while current American workers' checks could get squeezed. Obama's hand-picked replacement for Holder at the Attorney General's office, Ms. Lynch, is facing a grilling over seizing properties. See, she's a property grabber. As a prosecutor in New York, her office took in more than $904 million in seized assets. This is what you get when you have a gang running a country. They use the law to steal from private citizens. Look out, America. Today it's the conservatives. Tomorrow it's you. In Israel, Muslims throw acid on the car of an imam who condemned the synagogue jihad murders. Did you hear that? An imam came out and condemned the synagogue slaughter by Muslims. And to be rewarded for his sanity, Muslims threw acid on the car of the imam. He's a brave man and he should be supported. In case you missed it this week, there's a good story. Savage helped reunite a soldier with his dog. Beautiful story. There's a picture of Teddy with his new winter outfit on the left if you want to laugh instead of cry. Is Obama trying to start a new civil war? A new prophetic book warns the nation. Maybe yes. Finally, on Bamnesty, bring me your tired, your poor, and anybody else who can vote Democrat. A shocking immigration action by a lawless rogue president. Meanwhile, all you global warmists out there, snow has fallen everywhere except Alaska. Oh, yes, I know you can blame it on global warming, because that proves that your theory is a religious theory rather than a scientific theory. You see, when you have a religion that you adhere to, all your explanations are set in advance in your holy book. And your holy book is that there's global warming. So no matter what happens, the answer is global warming. That proves that you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Because the mark of true science is that it is subject to revision when new evidence appears. But since your mind is rigid and locked up, you don't even know what science is. There is no global warming caused by man. There's only global lies caused by liberals. And on that positive note, this is Michael Savage saying good night and God bless America.
Savage.